We want to spend a few moments together in God's Word this morning, turning to Psalm 28. In the first couple of verses, we'll be looking at lots of Scripture this morning. In the Pew Bible, it's page 855 and 856, and you can scroll it up on your phone or open it in your own Bible to Psalm 28. And let's stand together as we honor God's Word and just seek Him this morning. Psalm 28, verse 1 and 2 say, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary." And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We have rejoiced in it all week as the children have learned more of you and your grace and goodness. And Father, this morning, would you continue to equip us to be your servants, to be your witnesses, and to be those who are full of the Word of the living God, with answers for questions that life can throw at us from time to time. So bless this time, Father, by your Spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We want to think a little bit about the silence of God. That's an interesting topic, isn't it? The silence of God. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on the silence of God? Wow, I can't be an evangelist and say I see those hands. So we're treading new territory this morning as we think about the silence of God. And it raises many questions, does it not? There are times when we feel God is silent, times when we struggle with this idea, and yet Scripture gives us so much information about the silence of God. And so in our moments together this morning, we want to just think about what the Word of God has to say. Loneliness seems to go so deep sometimes, and when we feel all alone, it's not a comfortable feeling, is it? And I want to seek to demonstrate to you this morning that we learn something wonderful of the character of God when we think about the silence of God. Times when we can feel forgotten or unneeded, when our needs seem to go unanswered. And let's just consider from Scripture this morning, in these moments together, what would God have us know about Him? You see, often we're focused on the things that God does, and I believe we need to lift our eyes and look at the one that God is, and just see not only His deeds, but His ways. That's what one of the psalmists records for us. He showed his deeds to the children of Israel, but his ways to Moses. And we would want to be in that category, would we not? So let's think this morning. I'm going to move us around quite a bit. I won't take time to read the Scriptures, but I encourage you to write down the references and think about what is being said in those verses. The silence of God. The psalmist in these two verses says, "Do not be silent to me." And you see, the fact is, when we come to speak to God in prayer, we want to receive from Him the answer. And he says, "I become like those who go down to the pit if you are silent to me." We need that presence and that peace of God day by day, don't we? And so as we think this morning, let's launch from these comments that the psalmist makes and think about the lessons from Scripture concerning the silence of God. First of all, let's think about where is he silent? And when we think about that question, I'll give you just three scriptures and you can check them out. I'll endeavor to cover what they are saying. We look at the life of Jesus and we find answers to these questions. Where is God silent? The Lord Jesus was silent before Caiaphas. When he was arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, the scriptures tell us in Matthew 26 and verse 63 that Jesus held his peace. Why was Jesus silent? He could have clearly spoken out and spoken about the injustice of his arrest and all of the rest of it, but instead he is silent. He is silent to heartless religion. Things that are based only in the traditions of men. Jesus gave no answer to Caiaphas. He assumed that he was the highest authority in the land. I remember years back talking to the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada when we were speaking about the abortion laws, and he said, "We have no law." And I said, "We have a law." And he said, "We don't." I said, "We do. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. You see, when we think about his silence, we realize that there is an authority above every human authority, and that is our God who sits upon that eternal throne. He is silent before Caiaphas because here is just the traditions of man without any heart. And oftentimes in international settings when I'm preaching evangelistically, I like to remind people that often we're just 18 inches away from heaven. 18 inches is the difference between here and here. It's the difference between knowing something and living something, experiencing it. And if you are here this morning and you've never experienced the living God and his love and his forgiveness and the fact that he longs to have a relationship with you, make this your moment of decision today to trust him, to receive him, to follow him. We find in Luke 23, verse 9, that Jesus is silent before Herod. And it tells us in that verse that Jesus answered him nothing. Herod is saying, "Show me some sign." And isn't that so often what the world would say? "Well, if you could show me God, I would believe in him." But it is required that we have faith. And so Jesus is silent before Herod. He wants to see a sign. That empty curiosity. And many times I've spoken with people who would say, similar to Herod, "If you could show me something." Well, you know, God never stops working. Last Sunday morning at the end of the service, he healed a lady. He is always at work. But you see, we would concentrate on what he does instead of who he is. In John 19 and verse 9, we see that Jesus is silent before Pilate. It says in that verse that Jesus gave him no answer. Now you see, as we just contemplate this for a minute or two, here is this Roman governor, and he holds the power of life and death in his hands. But Jesus is silent before Pilate, gives him no answer at all. Pilate says to him, "Where are you from?" Jesus could have answered that in one word: heaven. "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes." Do you have all power and authority? Absolutely. But he gave him no answer at all. Because you see, Pilate's heart was full of criticism, and he was the political power of the day. And you'll recall, he was the one who scoffed, "Well, what is truth?" The fact is that we as people want truth to be what we believe it to be. But God has given us his truth. And this is what truth is: the word of the living God. All three of these men were very opposed to the will of God. There was no faith in any of their hearts. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Jesus was silent. You see, the world would love to see, etc. Reminds me of a story from the Ukraine of an old lady who was in a meeting where an atheist was saying, "I'll prove to you that there's no God. If there's a God, let him strike me down dead right now." And of course, God in his mercy didn't touch him. And he said, "See, there's no God. Any questions?" And this dear old lady put up her hand and said, "I love the Lord. He saved me. He gave me life. He gave me peace." The kind of peace that Dan and Pam were talking about in that young man at camp. "If I follow him all my life and he doesn't exist, what have I lost?" And the atheist said, "Nothing." And then the old lady, in great godly wisdom, said, "And if you follow your theory all of your life, and God is real, and heaven is real, and salvation is real, and you die, what have you lost?" You see, in her wisdom, she struck that chord of truth that the world has no answer for. Jesus gave these three no answer. You think about what he is silent. To what is he silent? In John chapter 8 and verse 6, we see that there's a lady who's been caught in the act of adultery, and they want to stone her. And Jesus is brought into the picture, and they ask, "You know, the law says she should be stoned. What should we do?" And the Bible says he gave no answer. He just wrote in the sand. You see, their action was hypocrisy. They were looking for a way to trap Jesus. And Jesus was looking for a way to provide salvation and forgiveness for this lady who obviously had done wrong. He is silent to hypocrisy, and he is silent to false accusations. In Matthew 15 and verses 2 through 5, you'll find that the Pharisees and Sadducees come and they say, "Why do your disciples not follow the traditions that have been given to us by our fathers?" Jesus didn't answer that question. Instead, he points them to the fact that in their view, tradition is more important than the Word of God, more important than a living relationship with God. Oh, my dear friends, the world that we live in is often content with religion, often happy to see wars happen because of religion, but what God has in mind is a true and living relationship with him. Those false accusations never stop, you know. I remember once when Billy Graham, came back from Russia, and he was asked by the press, "Did you see any religious persecution?" And he said, "No, I didn't see any." And the next day, the newspapers printed, Billy Graham says there's no religious persecution in Russia. That's not what he said. And some of us were mad and asked him, don't you think you should give a rebuttal? And he said, no. If you respond to criticism, you'll be busy all your life with the wrong focus. If God is in it, he will answer the criticism. He will care for you. He will carry you. And if God is not in it, then the criticism is deserved. Now you see, as we look in scriptures, we see Jesus is silent in these things. So what makes God silent? Human contempt. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 28 tell us that God says, I called and you did not answer. And you know that is still true today, because we read in Romans chapter 1 that there's more than enough evidence in creation to know and understand that God is real and that he exists. But instead, we would rather believe lies. My dear friends, he is silent to human contempt, because in that text he says, so when they call, I won't answer. He is silent to human carelessness. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 6, I love this chapter. It starts out with a bride who has gone to bed, and the bridegroom comes, and he is at the door, and he says, open to me, my love, my dear one. And she says, I'm in bed, and I've washed my feet, and I can't get up and come. And then the scriptures tell us that the bridegroom withdrew. And as he withdraws, she realizes, I need him. I need him. It's a picture of the church operating in its own strength without the living presence and power of Christ. And so she gets up and she rushes out and she runs all over town looking for the bridegroom without finding him. Because you see, in carelessness, she did not respond. Love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we serve a God who loves us. But sometimes we get careless and forget to spend that time that we need with him. In Isaiah 1 and verse 15, we see that sin leaves him silent. I will not hear, he says. He will not respond. So let's change and stop thinking so much on the negative and think about, when is he silent? He is silent in his love. Let me demonstrate that for you. In Zephaniah 3, verse 17, it says he will rest in his love. I think I was probably 6 years old when I first started to say to my father, I want a knife. Well, you shouldn't have one. You'll cut yourself. But I want one. Am I the only person in here who's ever adamantly said, come on, Dad. And then, of course, that happens spiritually too, doesn't it? I hate to confess, when I did get a pocket knife, the first thing I did was cut myself. Why did my dad not want me to have it? You'll cut yourself. Why is God silent? In his love, there are things that he knows you and I don't need, or we would just misuse them and he would never receive glory. He's silent in his wisdom. In Matthew 15, 23, it's a story of the woman who comes and she says to Jesus, "Oh, heal my child." And he says, "I've only come to the lost sheep of Israel." "Oh, heal my child." And she just consistently and persistently keeps on. And as you think about it, he was silent just to increase the desire. And so when God is silent to you and I as his child, it's not because he's mean. It's because he's drawing your heart and mine out to him so that he might increase our desire not only for what we want, but for him himself. In Job 23 and verse 8, we see another reason why he is silent. It's to educate our faith. Job cannot find him. No matter where he looks, it seems as if he is confronted with silence. But when he actually encounters the living God, it is an eye-opener. What does Job say? In that last chapter, he says, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eye sees you." And to put a McGregor paraphrase in there, we would have to say, Job is saying, "God, you are far more than I ever thought that you were." Wow. He educates our faith. And as you think about 2 Chronicles 7:14, we see that he is silent to teach us humility. He tells us that when we humble ourselves and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear in heaven and heal our land. So, let me move us quickly to what is he not silent? I just have that sort of little thing going on in my heart when I think about what the Scriptures teach us. You see, they have shown us lots of things that demonstrate God is silent here and here and here and here. But there are many Scriptures that show us to what he will never be silent. And you know what that does in my heart? Yes! Yes! Because as we begin to discover, oh, look at what the Bible says. The devil says, God forgets about you. You don't count. Nobody's ever going to answer your problem. Your need is just up to you. But the Scriptures show us so clearly places where God will never be silent. The first one is in Luke 18 and verse 13. There is a man standing at the altar in Jerusalem, and he is beating upon himself and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." What is that? That's the prayer of repentance. God will never be silent to that. God blessed that prayer, the Scriptures say. So when I mess up, and when I come to him in honesty and in true repentance and say, "Lord, I did that. It's me." He hears that prayer and he responds and sets things straight again in the heart. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 23, we see that he'll never be silent to the cry of the widow and the orphan. Scripture tells us that he has told Moses that they are to be looked after. And then God makes this amazing statement. He says, "I will surely hear their cry." Who would be more lonely and needy, more hurting and broken on the inside than the widow and the orphan? You see, his care is there. He will hear and he will answer. In Genesis 23 and verse 17, we learn that God will never be silent to the voice of a child. I love this. We just finished VBS. I couldn't help but watch those little faces night by night. Who knows what God will do with each of those lives? It says in that verse that God heard the voice of the lad, Ishmael. Not Abraham, but Ishmael. Well, because you see, God cares. In Psalm 145, we read that he is never silent to one who has a desire for himself, a desire for God. He says, he will hear and fulfill the desire of those who fear him. In Psalm 12 and verse 5, it teaches us that he'll never be silent to the cry of the needy. Are you here this morning and you have a need? The good news is that God is able to meet that need. He is able to touch that area of your life and your heart. He says, I will arise and set him in safety in that verse. Wow. We know that he'll never be silent to the praise of his people. In 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14, it says, as they praised, his presence filled the temple. The Shekinah glory of God came. You see the importance as we gather Sunday by Sunday to worship. We worship one who can fill not only temples, but these temples and these hearts and these lives. My dear friends, the world would have us believe that God will just be silent. But his word teaches us that if he is silent, there is a reason behind it. And there are so many things to which he will never be silent. The cry of your heart this morning, if you will bring those needs to him, he will meet you and he will touch your life. As we study that silence, it's good to see his wisdom, isn't it? Good to see the way that God pours out his care. And when we come to him in truth and acknowledge our need, he hears and he speaks. There have been so many times in my life when I had no idea what to do next. No understanding of where to go or who to turn to. But when I turn to him, there is the tender heart of God to say, I hear the deep cry in your life. Now we could close the service and we could move on and say, well, we had a great time of worship and many great things that God is doing. But as I close this morning, I just want to encourage you, whatever the need that is in your heart today, we have a God who meets every need. Father, we turn to you. And we're so grateful that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. You understand the deepest needs of our hearts, whether they are needs like loneliness or health or finances or relationships. You know, you understand. The world would tell us that we're on our own. But Lord, your word teaches us that Jesus came so that we could be free, forgiven, filled with the Spirit of the living God. And so this morning, just right where you are, as I close this portion of the service in prayer, and as we're bowed in prayer, I want to pray for you if you have a need. Would you just slip up your hand and I'll know and I'll remember. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. There are hands up all over the sanctuary. And dear friends, our needs are real and our God is real. And there'll be folk here to pray with you after the service closes. If you want some private prayer on these issues, please come. And please know, His truth will always stand. He will hear that cry of your heart. Father, you have seen every hand that was raised this morning. You know the issues that we as your people are facing and carry. And you teach us and tell us to cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. So, Father, this morning we bring each of these before you, trusting you, living God, to minister into every heart the grace that is necessary, the peace, the healing touch, the strength, the enabling. And Lord, continue your work in our hearts long after this service stops. May we know that you have touched that need today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.